Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 weeks to Fitness, episode number 68. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, in this episode, I will be joined by Fatima Bertouk, owner of Studio 55, Saudi Arabia's first women-only spinning and fitness studio. During the interview, Fatima will discuss her challenges as a child growing up in Saudi Arabia and how she used food as her refuge to deal with the day-to-day struggles of trying to fit into society. Fatima will also discuss how she was able to launch her fitness studio at a time when there were no legal fitness facilities for women in Saudi Arabia, and how, despite the negative publicity she received from the local press, decided to open up her very own award-winning clothing line for women. Fatima believes that if she can do what she's doing in Saudi Arabia, then anyone can do it anywhere else in the world. Fatima plans on opening 20 additional studios in the next 3 to 5 years. This is truly an amazing story of how one woman, through her courage and strength, is seeking to change Saudi Arabia's culture through fitness rather than politics or religion. This is truly one of my most inspiring episodes. Now remember the words of Paul Bryant, who said, "If you believe in yourself and have dedication and pride and never quit, you'll be a winner. The price of victory is high, but so are the rewards." And now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 weeks of Fitness. Fatima Bertouk is the leading authority figure in Saudi Arabia's growing spinning industry. Not only is she a pioneering female in the space, she's cultivating a community of happy, inspired women and proudly watching them blossom through a new love for fitness. Fatima worked with a passionate team from the United States for over a year via email and Skype to recently open Studio 55, Saudi's first women-only spinning studio. In addition to overseeing the studio, Fatima also operates an award-winning clothing line called Tima. I am pleased to welcome Fatima to our 6 weeks of fitness program. Fatima, how are you?
Hi, I am very fine. I'm so happy and privileged to be part of this program. Thank you very much for hosting me.
No, it is our pleasure to have you here today. And now, before we talk about Studio 55 and your clothing line, let's talk about you, okay?
Okay.
It's very rare that I have the pleasure to speak with a fellow fitness enthusiast from Saudi Arabia.
Yes, I can imagine.
But what was your childhood like growing up in Saudi?
I could say it was somewhat difficult because I come from a multicultural background. My father is Saudi and my mom isn't. Saudi, she is from Tibet, so being different was always there. It was part of my identity. But growing up, being different than my fellow peers at school and the society that I was living in was somewhat difficult because at that time, I can say that they weren't very used to a culture or countries or traditions other than their own. So for me to fit into that took me a few years. And for me to accept even myself being different took me many years. So growing up was a little bit difficult. And that's actually, I could say, that could be the reason how I found fitness as a gateway for me to unite and express and accept differences between all types of women in Saudi Arabia.
Were you overweight when you were growing up?
Yeah. Part of, I think, trying to fit in and everything, I grew up being an emotional eater. So it was the way I compensated for all the differences that I was faced upon growing up. But I was in constant weight gain till I reached the age of 18, reaching a weight of 130 kilos for my height of 170 centimeters. I'm not sure. That's like almost 5'7" feet.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was very, I could say that I was escaping to food for me as a hideaway to, for all the difficulties that I was facing growing up. And then I think when I was in high school, that's when I realized that, okay, I need to make a change in myself. I realized what I was facing and I acknowledged it at the beginning. You know, it wasn't just a matter of poor eating habits. It was much deeper than that. Mm. A lot of self-discovery and exploration and really understanding why I ate the way I did. Why did I always go to food as my refuge, I could say. But for me, it was a really transitioning point when I lost my father, who was also overweight and very young.
I see.
And I was 19 years old then. So I felt, okay, this means something. And I could say at that point, I really made a big change in my life. It started with food and understanding food and making peace with it rather than always struggling with it. And then fitness played a big role because it became my venting space. It became a space where it wasn't just only about weight loss, but it was also more of, this is a place where I can feel free, liberated. No one's judging me. No one doesn't want to know who I am, what I am. We're just working out together. And that's the only commonality that mattered in that space. But then that's where my whole journey of fitness started, with my own transformation.
As a result of that, you started exercising, you changed the way you ate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when did you start spinning?
It was about that time when I was 18 years old. I went into my first spinning class. I saw this big board in the fitness facility that I was at, and it says, okay, the spinning class burns about 800 calories an hour. And, for someone who's losing weight, that sounds really good.
Exactly.
Like, okay, 800 calories, perfect. I'll just do this twice a day and I'll reach my goal in no time. So, and then to my surprise, I went and entered the first spinning class in 10 minutes and I left. And I said, okay, this is not for me. This is crazy. Who wants to be on a bike that doesn't take you anywhere? And like, it's just insane. These people are crazy. And I left. And then the next day I come in, I said, okay, I'm going to try another class. And there was no other class except spinning. And I said, okay, let me try this again. And then I went to the class and I stayed for another 20 minutes. So I was like, okay, half an hour, not bad. I'm getting used to this. And then one day there was, it's always that, there's that one person that really touches you. And it was one instructor who was a visiting instructor, a master instructor of spinning, Sarah Morelli. And she gave a master class. And for me, it was like meditation in motion. I was on a bike that didn't take me anywhere physically, but it took me to play. She took me to places on the bike that I've never imagined mentally I could go.
Wow.
So that's where I thought, okay, this is it. This is what I have to do. I have to, I have to do this for the rest of my life. And at that time, she was also visiting. She gave the master class, and the next day she was giving a master training to train instructors. And I said, okay, I want to learn more about it. I didn't at all at that point think of teaching spinning. I just said, okay, I want to take this for my own knowledge. And I did. And I took that, and it just opened a whole world for me. Because from there, it started with only self-education. And, learning more about spinning. And then from there, learning about fitness in general. So then after that, I took so many different certifications. I went into I became ACE certified as a personal trainer from the American Council of Exercise. But that was a big leap for me because it was like studying, for something that my major was in marketing and advertising and business. So, but this was something completely new to me. I was studying biology and muscles and and how the body functions and all that.
Yes. But
it was an eye-opener for me. But then, and that's where it really, the whole journey of, understanding how the body functions and how it's not just physical, it's also mental, and it requires a lot of self-motivation.
Right.
And
yes.
And for me, that realization was like, okay, it's not a matter of being on that South Beach diet and, reaching your goal. It's much deeper than that. It's about changing your whole lifestyle. It's about making and believing that this change is for my overall benefit and not for a temporary fix. And then from there, within like 4 to 5 years, I've reached my goal weight,
and great.
And I was of course a regular at the facility that I was attending at, and everyone knew that I took all these certifications, and the instructors would come to me and say, why don't you take this, do this part time, give a class or something. And I was like, oh no, I've taken that, I've done all that only for myself. I have a full time job. I don't think of doing this seriously, and right. I'm focused on my career right now and like that. And one day, one of the instructors, she was, it was like holiday time, everyone was leaving, and she was 8 months pregnant. She was still giving spinning classes. So she came to me, she said, okay, I'm going to be on maternity leave soon. You're the only person I can think of who can cover for the period coming. And I'm like, cover what? She's like, cover the spinning classes. And I'm thinking, are you serious? I've never taught anything in my life, not even taught a lesson to my younger brother or something like that, to be teaching a class. And she's like, why don't we co-teach and you give it a try? And then for me, this part of this identity that I always struggling with, and I'm thinking, I'm going to give a class to these women who don't really comprehend who I am and what I am, and they're going to be judgmental, and they're used to having all these American and Canadian instructors. For a Saudi woman to come in and give a class, will they actually accept me? Will they really want to take a class from me? I didn't want to face that disappointment of no one showing up,
Wow. Yeah.
And then to my surprise, I did start co-teaching with her and then gradually teaching on my own. And then I started developing this connection with the women. And, at the beginning, and even when I was attending classes there, I would attend a class and leave. I would never talk to anyone around me. I didn't develop any friendships from there because I always thought, okay, these women are very different than I am. And, and I always had those precautions in my head that, okay, I shouldn't mix with them. They won't, and I don't want to be faced with questions or anything like that. So I was always distant. But becoming an instructor made me get to know them and get closer to them. And then realize that, oh my God, they're just like me. Even though they come from very traditional Saudi families, mom is Saudi, dad is Saudi, they're very, and when they leave the gym facilities, because of course everything in Saudi is segregated. Male and men are separated.
Yes.
And men are separated. Yeah, so but once the woman is in a woman in any facility that's only for females, she of course uncovers her, and she's wearing her out, sports wear and everything inside the facility. But the moment she moves out, where it's a public space, she's covered. Yeah. So when I remember my first class, and I thought it was okay. They were like all in it with me, and we had a great class. I leave the gym facility waiting outside, and obviously, also in Saudi Arabia, women don't drive. So I'm waiting for my driver. And there's this lady that's standing right next to me, covered from head to toe, a person that I would never even say hello to, turns around to me and says, great class. It was really amazing. One of the best spinning classes I've ever tried in my life. And I look at her and I'm thinking, that was like a moment in my life. And I looked at her and I'm thinking, wow, you were in my class. And,
wow.
And she was telling me, and I want to apologize to you because I was judging you before you gave a class. And I used to think, who is this girl who thinks that, she's half Saudi, half I don't know what. And and she's coming in, giving us a class. She has a different ideologies than we do, because I don't really cover up as much as they do. And, and how is she going to be giving us this class? And what does she know? And then I told her, well, listen, I apologize to you too, because I also judged people like you who are completely covered and thought there is no way that we could ever relate to each other. And it's amazing that spinning just brought us together.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So it was, yeah, but for me, that was like, you know, it's like as much as that I realized that I was the person who was building those walls. It wasn't just that the people were. And we,
yes.
And with spinning and whatever fitness that I teach today, it just brings down all those walls. Yeah.
It breaks down all those barriers.
Exactly.
That's amazing. What a beautiful story, you know?
Thank you.
Beautiful story. So now, what made you decide to open up your own studio?
Well, this facility that I was teaching at wasn't a legal facility, because women in Saudi Arabia at that time did not, or were not, there was no legal entity for fitness facilities for women. But it was always done like, it would be done like, I don't know how to say this, like under the covers, you know, it's like, it's within yes. like a, it was an English/computer learning center, and they had like a couple of, they had a big gym space and then a couple of rooms where they did those different group classes. But legally, it wasn't really a place where they could, where women can exercise. So then about 4 years ago, the country had taken the initiative to close down everything that wasn't legal and create a legal entity for it, which obviously takes a lot of time. And then instead of doing the entity first and then legalizing all the areas, they closed down everything.
Wow.
Yeah. So then the only place that I could teach at was closed. And all the women that I was training were desperate. They were coming to me, sending me calling me, where are you? What are we going to do? Are they going to reopen? And
wow.
We were like on the hope of like continuing to talk to legal authorities, try to open it up. And it didn't. And, it took like 6 months, and what was really sad is that the owners of the facility itself gave up.
Gave up.
Yeah, they
wow.
gave up at that moment, and they're like, you know, we're not going to take this fight. It's not for us, and they just said, and they had the computer/English training center, so they said, you know, this is a good income for us, so that's not really going to affect us so much. But that's why their priorities wasn't there. But then at that point, I was like, okay, they can't give up. You know, we're like, what are you going to do? And then that's when I said, okay, I have to put up the fight. And you know, everything happens like for a reason. All the stars aligned. And then I was invited, nominated to become a member of the Young Saudi Women, Business Women in the Chamber of Commerce. And basically,
nice.
this is the first time they formed this kind of committee where young women who are entrepreneurs or businesswomen or part of family businesses would be in one committee and create and help, you know, legalize some things, make sure that the current system works for women as much as it works for men.
Yes. Wow.
So at that point, when they asked me, I said, okay, I will do this. I will go into this committee, but I need your full support to get access to the ministry who gives male gyms the licenses. And they were like, of course, this will open a totally new industry for women in business. I said, exactly. This is what I want to open. I don't want to
wow.
open it up for me. I want to open it for every woman in Saudi, every woman who has the passion of fitness to be able to open and operate her own space or facility.
Wow. Nice.
So that was about like 3 years ago. And we went and met with the minister himself. And to my surprise, he was very, very open to the idea. And they said, yes, we should do that. And why? He said, why don't we already have that? And I was like, exactly our question.
Everything's
been closing down. And we don't have any legal entity to fix it today. And we need that immediately.
Mm.
And we have done, and we've done that with them. And at that point, I said, okay, this is where I can get spinning into Saudi, a certified facility by spinning, because I wanted also spinning and Mad Dog Athletics, who owns spinning program in the US, to recognize the potential and the impact of spinning it has on women in Saudi Arabia. Because, you know, it's we women can't drive in Saudi, but women, they drive everything else in Saudi Arabia. They're like phenomenal, the women in Saudi. They manage their homes, their lives, their children, their husbands, their careers, and everything, and with the limited resources that they have. So it is really, you know, inspiring to see all these women every day. And then when they come and they feel, and, you know, I hear a woman coming saying that, okay, this 1 hour of the day for me to come into the studio and take the spinning class just energizes me and gives me all I need for the rest of my day. You know, this is like for me, like, okay, thank you very much. I can die happy right now, you know.
Oh my goodness.
But then at that point, I was like, okay, we have to open a spinning studio in Saudi. And that's when Studio 55 was born. And like you mentioned, I had, you know, we don't have any resources in Saudi or businesses that are founded on for studios, you know. So then I've met through WSSC, which is the World Spinning and Sports Conference. Yes. I got the best resources from the U.S. and from Europe, who helped me so much in realizing how I can, you know, set up a spinning studio with the limited resources we have here. And it was a journey, and it was a huge learning curve for me, learning from Barbara Hoots, who of course helped me from day one, and from all the other also master instructors who also owned their own studios and taught me, you know, how they operated and what works and what doesn't. So I got the know-how and the knowledge and I could say, like, you know, fixing it or adapting it to our culture and our needs, because at the end we are a closed studio for women only. And we've launched it this year. We've opened our first studio on the 21st of June. It's been 6 months now.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and it's been like a roller coaster ride that only goes up.
Oh, really? That only goes up? Nice. I mean, you are such a trailblazer over there. You know, it's amazing. It really is. Now, you call your studio, your fitness center, Studio 55.
Yeah.
Where'd you get that Studio 55 from?
Well, we came up like with so many different names, and I really wanted to emphasize on the idea of being a studio. So it's like very intimate environment, very cozy, and it's not a gym facility in the meaning of a gym, you know, of equipment and things like that. So this, but I knew a studio, the word studio had to be there, because we really wanted to own the concept of studio. And then 55 came in as saying we had five emotional or mental benefits and five physical benefits. And then we said also at the same time, 55 is the number of minutes for the duration of our classes. So it like has this double meaning thing.
But we,
so it's something that we always emphasize more, like, and Studio 55, our slogan is be more, and more is really what we always drive. So we say like sweat more, love more, do more, be more. And it's always about being more and reaching everyone's self potential and full potential. So it's the whole concept just evolved, you know?
Yeah, no, it sounds like a wonderful and amazing journey that you're on here, you know?
Yes, it is.
Really? Now, in addition to your spin, do you offer any other type of classes?
Yes, we do. We have two studios. We have a spinning studio, and the other studio, I could say it's like a cross-functional studio, and where we do many different classes, from like boot camp classes, yes, using TRX, Bozus, ropes, and all those fun stuff, equipment, and we call them toys. Our Studio 55 toys. And then we also have yoga classes, Pilates, and then we also have dance classes like Zumba and Bokwa.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Excellent. Where do you get your instructors?
What's amazing, and I can say this is something I'm so proud of, is that all my instructors are Saudi women.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
And, you know, we started, when I started teaching. It was very, you know, I'm talking about like 10 years ago. It's very, very weird for a Saudi woman to be teaching, because even the students and the girls who come into the gym, they would come to me and they'd speak to me immediately in English, because they would think, you know, I wouldn't understand Arabic. And I'd say, no, I speak Arabic. And they're like, oh, really? Where are you from? I'm saying, oh, I'm from here. And they're like, oh, and you teach? How are you an instructor? It was sort of even seen, it was beneath you to be doing this job. This was a job for people that we imported, you know, basically.
Really?
Yeah. So for now, it's the whole culture has changed and evolved. And the new generation of women is in Saudi Arabia have been really educated and exposed, because most of them have been traveling. They go to the U.S. They've either been educated there, or they've been visiting their summers or their holidays. But they know what is fitness, and they go to these different studios when they're in New York or in their L.A. or Chicago, and but they know what they know it. And they came to me and they say, "We want to become an instructor. Where do we start? We don't know." So I've taken these instructors. We have sent them to trainings. And then I train them in-house, and now I can say that we have 10 Saudi instructors.
Nice, yes. 10.
Yeah.
Do you pay your instructors well?
I could say I do. I'd like to say that I do pay them very well. What I do with instructors is that other than their flat fee that they take per class, that I make sure that all the instructors are also partners with us at the studio. But they are, yes. So they also, we also share profit with them, and
yes,
and we also give them share of profits when they're like when they have high coverage of classes and stuff like that, share of revenue when they have high coverage of classes. So at the end of the year, we share the profits with them, because I believe that instructors are the core of the of our studios, and we and for all their trainings all year long, they're entitled to 4 trainings a year, and all those trainings are covered by us too. So we really take care of them.
Dude, yeah, excellent business model for Fatima. Quite impressive. How many days a week are you open?
We're open 5 days a week.
Okay, 5. So what 2 days are you closed? Saturday and
Sorry,
Sunday?
6 days a week. Yeah, 6 okay. days a week. We're closed only Friday, because our weekend is Friday, Saturday. But that's why I scheduled this today.
Oh, okay. This is your weekend. You're closed today.
Yeah.
Oh, nice, nice. And what are your hours of operation?
Well, surprisingly now, our 7 a.m. classes have been picked up. So we start from early morning, 7 a.m., where everyone, because you have to, maybe you could relate to us, the Arab culture, very close to the Latin culture, where people like to take siestas and they don't really wake up early in the mornings. And like, really? Yeah, people like to stay up at night. That's when... Because usually this region where countries are very hot, they don't spend too much time during the day. They spend it more during the night.
Wow.
So,
okay.
But everyone is saying your 7 a.m. classes, no one is going to show up. But I can say proudly today that our 7 a.m. classes are almost full.
Really?
Yeah. So we start our classes from 7 o'clock, and our last class ends at 8 o'clock. P.M.
8 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Very, very good. Very good. Very impressive. Now, where did you go to school? Did you go to school in the States?
I went to an American university, and that was based here in Saudi Arabia.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Okay. The reason I asked is because you speak English so well.
Oh, I was born in Singapore, and English was my first language.
Okay, great. Now, in addition to having these fitness center, Studio 55, you also have your own clothing line.
Yes, Tima.
Called Tima. Yeah, where did that come from?
Tima was really a funny idea, because there was a very bad article about me in the newspapers that
really?
was talking about me negatively, in a way that I was trying to come in and liberate women and bring the Western ideologies to our society and communities, and people have to be careful of people like me, and I was like, yeah, and I got, and then the stress of that was so I had so much pressure, from that, even from some family saying that, why are you doing this? Why are you all out there? Why are you talking about fitness like this? Do what you're doing, but you don't have to be all out there in press and, media and all that. And, and I was like, I didn't mean for this to happen. This is people's opinion and, people are with you and against you. And I was sitting with a friend of mine and she's very good in dealing with press and all that. But I was telling her, what do I do? And she's like, and she was joking. And she's like, you know what I would do? I would create DVDs and like fitness DVDs. And why not we start that? And I looked at her, I'm like, really, seriously, they're already like, bashing me because I'm like, I'm not, I don't cover my face and I'm out there talking about fitness and educating wherever I can at schools, at women's seminars and all that. And they're bashing me and you want me to do DVDs. And then she's like, yes. And everyone could wear like t-shirts with Tima on it. And Tima was always a nickname that my mom named me with. So then I told her, and then when she said that, it just like sparked a light bulb in my head. I'm like, t-shirts with Tima. And it just came to me and I started doing research. And I said, how can I create a sport apparel that is from this country and from this region that will intrigue people to know more and maybe also motivate women to move more? And then that's when I started my whole investigation, because I'm not a fashion designer. I have no idea about fashion. But okay. Then, but I do know business. But I said, okay, how difficult can this be? I just need to understand how the industry works, and then I could be part of it in some way. Yes. And I started like researching, contacting different people that I knew in the fitness world who would have contacts to help me know where to manufacture, where I could start, maybe a fashion agency who could develop for me styles and designs and all that. So, of course, I've been like, all over the place, not knowing where to start, until I met a person who I took a training with, which were in the States, called piloxing. And piloxing is basically Pilates, boxing, and yes, dancing that was created by Vivica Jensen. And then she said, she came to me, this lady who was also a master trainer in piloxing, and she told me, I'm contacting you because I know you're from Saudi Arabia and you're like the only one in that region who took our program. And I would like to like know more about what you're doing and all that. I said, okay, great. And we got in touch. We started emailing. She asked me a few questions. And then one of her questions, like, what do you think of doing in the future? And I said, well, something I'm looking at right now is sport apparel for women. And then at that point, she said, oh, I know someone who could help you, who was based in Los Angeles. She's a designer and she actually knows good manufacturers in the US and in Brazil. And I said, okay. She puts me in touch with this person and it's like we had this chemistry. I talked to her from the first call. It felt like I knew her for 100 years. And I said, that's it. This is it. And then our just business relationship blossomed from there. And even our friendship relationship blossomed.
Yes.
And from there, Tima was born and we launched our first line in April 2013.
Wow. Now, are the clothes specifically made for Saudi women?
Well, I can't say it's made for Saudi women specifically, but it is. We sell it all over around the world because we sell online and we sell also in different stores around the Middle East. So we're in Saudi Arabia, we're in Kuwait, we're in Dubai, and Bahrain and Oman, we're everywhere, I could say, but mainly our two biggest markets is Saudi and Dubai. So yeah, Tima has been growing a lot, but we do get orders from Europe, we get orders from the Far East too. So it's it's just been a journey with Tima.
Oh my goodness! And yeah. Tima comes from Fatima.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. Now, how do you market your clothes? I mean, I know it's online. Do you have someone working on your marketing specifically for the clothing? Yeah. Yes.
I have, I could say that she's my soul sister, my partner, my right arm, and she's also the brand manager of Tima. Her name is Rasha, and Rasha, she's been with me from day one on Tima, and I have to say that she was the person. Without her, we wouldn't have moved Tima forward. She really believes in it, and she really pushes it forward. But she's the person in charge. And sometimes I'm afraid of her because she really takes it as if it's her own. And she will takes the best decisions possible for the brand. And it's been growing ever since. But she handles all the marketing and sales for it. But we have a PR agency who does all our PR work and has been putting out the word there in the Middle East. And it's been really good for Tima.
You are a mogul, as we say here in the States.
A mini mogul for now.
Oh, most definitely. Now, what advice would you give other women entrepreneurs like yourself?
I think, you know, the best advice I would say is that really work with a higher purpose in life. You know, and having the passion of whatever industry the entrepreneur is going to go into. If you're passionate about it and you really and truly have a higher purpose to it, not just the bottom sales numbers, you know, and there is a vision and a mission to reach out and make this world a better place, then I think that is really the equation for a successful business. Because it'll drive you to do more. It'll drive you to innovate. It'll drive you to be creative. It'll drive you to think of solutions. It'll drive you to always think of people before you think of yourself. And that's how this is how we flourish as communities and countries and in the world.
Very well said. Now, how can my listeners learn more about Studio 55 and Tima?
Well, you can find us on our websites, timalovelife.com. And fitstudio55.com. And of course, if you are on social media, on Facebook, you'll find us everywhere. The same word, Tima Love Life or fitstudio55 on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, our latest thing.
Nice.
So we're very active on social media.
Wow. Very good, Fatima. Now, would you like to share any additional information about your business with my listeners?
Well, I really hope that this inspires others to do something in their lives that will change the world and change their or surrounding. For me, these businesses, I'm so privileged and so happy that I wake up every morning loving what I do and doing what I love. And I feel so, so blessed and grateful for that. And I really hope people get inspired to do something the same.
Oh, I'm sure they will, especially after they listen to this interview with you, Fatima. It is so inspiring.
Thank you so much.
Really.
And if we can do it in Saudi Arabia, then I think anyone can do it anywhere in the world.
Oh, most definitely. And are you planning on opening up other fitness centers?
Yes, we're planning to open 20 in the next 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we're going all the way.
You sure are. I hope that I can interview you again as you open up your next one and the next one. You know what I mean?
For sure, yes.
Keep track of you, really. Now, Fatima, on behalf of Body Sculpt of New York and 6 Weeks of Fitness, I want to thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeksoffitness.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.